Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from a very wet Ocala, Florida.
Well, I am Jamie Jennings and you, from Phoenix, Arizona, where it's very, very dry. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 25th, episode 752. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday morning. I got to tell you, Jamie, Jennifer and I have been through some most natural disasters you can imagine we have been in. People won't travel with us anymore because they always happen while we're on the road. But yesterday, here at home, we had the hardest rain I think I have ever seen in my life. Jennifer had to go out in it to bring the horses in because I was recording. And Jennifer, you said what? It was like God was throwing buckets of water right in your face. It was bizarre.
Wow.
It was just bizarre. We had 5 inches of rain in a little less than 3 hours.
And wow.
It was just incredible. I mean, I've just never seen anything like it. It was amazing stuff yesterday. And
now,
the horses, of course, you know, don't really like to be out in that. So.
Of course not. But, you know, you guys don't get mud. You have sand as, you know, your footing, I guess I should say. Your footing is sand in Florida. So is it easier or more difficult? Do you get, like, wet sand track through your house, or is it not so bad?
Oh yeah, you can't. It's different than mud in that, you know, mud is stickier. Sand tends to dry and just fall off, and you can sweep it up. So it's a little bit easier to deal with than mud. But we do have to take our shoes off when we come inside the house after being out in that. And the big advantage to Florida is that, you know, 3 hours after we had monsoon rains of 5 inches, there was a little bit of water here and there standing. But other than that, you couldn't tell it had rained. So
right.
That's the big thing.
You could tell because there was a pond in every paddock where there didn't used to be a pond.
Yes, we did have ponding yesterday that we hadn't seen before. It was quite an adventure yesterday. And then we had the 4 or 5 hour thunderstorm that just hung around for 4 or 5 hours. And that never happened any other place we've ever lived. In other places, the front comes through and the storm is 10, 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour, and you're done. Here, they just sit over top of you and storm for 4 or 5 hours. So it's very bizarre that way. Not used to that yet.
Makes for good green grass, though.
It does. Our grass is very green. There's no question about it. Well, Jennifer, I know you have to get to lining up callers, so tell us what's on today's show.
On today's happy National Comic Book Day, Wednesday edition, we wind up the equestrian aptitude today with some not-so-common knowledge quiz questions. And the headline bucket is filled to the brim, so our intrepid hosts will be tossing a few tidbits your way. And before we hit up the horse.com's horse health report for some sage advice on bringing home babies. And on this day in 1970, one of the unheralded classic family comedies of the TV's not-so-golden age, The Partridge Family, debuted on ABC.
The Partridge Family. Hey, I did want to tell everybody before we get to our daily whinnies that we will be talking about the Connecticut vicious horse thing. Jamie, I got more emails and more Facebook messages, and I just got more notifications from listeners about that than any other story that's happened in the last 2 years. So we will, like, I think they just want to hear us talk about it, so we're going to do that. Like, they don't know what we think already, but we will talk about it in the second half hour of the show. So it
okay.
will be coming up, I promise, I promise. I have Daily Winnie, very short and sweet. Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, who joins us every Monday here on the show. It's her birthday today, so this is for her. Happy birthday, Leslie.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to the wonderful people that are clearly needing to sell their 2007 Bison Alumisport 380 SE. It does have a three-horse slant load, 8-foot short wall living quarters, escape door, couch, two-burner stovetop. The couch does fold into a bed. It's got a fantastic bed up in the gooseneck. The AC works very well. So does the heat. It is very clean and very well maintained, and the bargain price of only $21,900. This Bison Alumisport 380 SE 3-horse plant load can be yours. And I'm posting the link to the people that are selling that beautiful trailer. It's up on Facebook on our Horses in the Morning page. Clearly, I'm selling my trailer.
Why, you just got it, didn't you?
Yes, I love this trailer. I'm so bummed I have to sell it. This is like dream trailer. It's so fun to camp in and be in and all that. And I had to go have a stinky baby and now have to get a bigger one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, now I have to hotel it from now on because I hate camping.
No. I know. It sounds like I'm selling it because I'm not allowed to do it anymore or something. But no, we actually have to upgrade to one with a slide out. And Chad, of course, is like, we need bigger ones. We need living quarters that slide out. He's like, we need the 8-foot. I'm like, let's just not get crazy here. I still have to drive this sucker, so I don't want too big, but something with a slide out that's 10 feet. So if anybody has one of those, please. Send it to me. I'll let you know if I'll come look at it. But so we're selling my dream trailer to get an even bigger one. So whereas this one is easy to drive, I'm about to bite off probably more than I can chew, but we'll see.
Probably. Have you ever driven a 40-foot trailer, David? There.
No. I thought this one was scary, but this one's not hard to drive. Now he wants to get a wider one, the 8-foot wide and the 14-foot long. I'm like, honey, our truck doesn't pull that. He's like, maybe we should get a new truck. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah, I mean, usually this is a battle with the horse husband to convince him you need a bigger one. Sounds like we're having the opposite problem here.
Oh, well, of course he wants a bigger one, so it's a cooler place for him to sit around and look around and hang out in the trailer, but I'm the one who drives it. So to me, I don't want a bigger one. This one's easy to drive, and we start getting wider and bigger. See, all I do is imagine parking at a horse show. You know how everybody has to line up their trailers, and you have to park, and then I'm stressed out enough trying to back that thing into a parking space. My God, you add width and length. I'm like, I'm going to be the embarrassing one who, like, has to have somebody else park their trailer for them. That's going to be me.
You're going to look like you should be at a Western show because that's the kind of rigs they take to Western shows, you know, with the tractor trailer front and, you know, the 85-foot trailer with the living quarters with the gold faucets. That's going to be you.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you, except for out here on the West Coast, everybody has living quarter trailers and these big rigs because every horse trial is so far away that, you know, we drive 6 hours. You don't want to get a hotel room. Everybody seems to have living quarter trailers out here on the West Coast, not so much on the East Coast. I would, you know, I would sleep in the gooseneck of my dressing room crappy trailer, and it wasn't a big deal. But out here, it is the way that people travel. So my trailer is small for out here. And so I'll start to fit in a little more. But I will have to, I'll be like, Barb, can you come park my trailer?
Yeah. Can you back this up for me? And, you know, they always said backing up goosenecks was easier. We used to have to drive the Bit of Britain ones, which were, 40 feet at least. And then you'd have to back them up in these tiny spaces. And finally, the one day, you know, I was going to wreck the thing. And John was there, John Dunn, and I said, John, you do it. And, of course, he can do it in about 2 seconds, you know. And we were in a building. I was going to take the column out that held up the roof. And I was like, nope, that's it. I'm out. It's all yours.
When you asked John to park the trailer, did you hand him your man card before or after he parked it for you?
I really didn't have to because it was a tight. It took him a while, too, so... I didn't totally lose my man card in that one. And he can back those things up. I think that's a talent. That's an innate talent is backing those big ones up. Because, whew, I couldn't do it. I never want to jackknife the truck enough. And that's what you have to do. You have to really put that truck under the trailer. And it's just weird. And
well,
I guess that comes from pulling bumper poles all my life, you know?
I didn't realize I could jackknife mine. And remember, I backed this one up, and I backed it up, and I was like, oh, I can just lay it sideways, put it on right at me. I was so cocky. And then I actually had the top of the gooseneck go through my back window. So you can jackknife them.
All right. Well, it is time to play. If I screw up the sound today, forgive me, it's a different setup. So let's see. There we go.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Well, that's right. It is time to play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. Now, today we have a special prize, and the way we're going to do it, we're going to do it the same way we did when we had the breeches from Fitz, is Daniel Stewart was kind enough to want to give one of his books away that we talked to him on Monday, right, guys? And it was Pressure Proof Your Riding, and it's the mental training technique, an absolutely wonderful book. Everybody should have this in their library. Everybody should read it. I've been looking over it yesterday, and it is so well written and so well done. And he is going to do a signed copy, a personalized copy to you. What we're going to do is we're going to do it the same way we did before, in that I am going to, because there's so many callers today, I'm going to close my eyes and point to the screen, and that's who we're going to take first. It's going to be the first one to get a question correctly will win the book. So it's Dan Stewart's Pressure Proof Your Riding. And Jamie now has her hand up because she wants to answer some questions because she really wants the book. So you can't play, Jamie. Can't play. Okay, so let me just explain the rules here quick. We're going to ask you a question from three categories, and Jamie will go over those in a minute. You get the question correct, and you will hear the bell. You get the question incorrect, and you will hear the high school basketball buzzer. And that's how we play. You have 5 seconds to answer. 5 seconds to answer. So let me close my eyes and point to the screen. And it looks like we have, let's see here, Candace in New York is our first contestant today. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning.
How are you, girl?
Good. Excited to be talking to y'all.
Well, we are glad to have you here. What part of New York are you from?
I'm kind of in central New York. I'm about a half hour away from Cornell University.
Oh, cool. So you're actually in some beautiful country that's going to see a lot of snow this coming up very shortly.
Yeah, we had frost this morning.
Oh,
are
geez.
You kidding? I'll tell you what, living in the desert, you forget about the rest of the world, because living here in the desert, everybody here is so excited that fall is coming. Because winter here, fall, winter, and spring are fantastic, and summer, it tries to kill you. And I realize that the rest of the world is like, oh, can't believe winter's coming. I'm like, yay, winter, winter, winter. So I guess that's the different part of the world that you live in. How do you take care of your horses in that kind of weather?
I am actually moving him to a nice facility down the road with an indoor arena for the winter and a good
house. There you go.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Exactly. And what type of riding do you do? Because if you get this question right, you get the Daniel Stewart book.
Happy riding. I started as a trail rider, and I'm 4 weeks into dressage lessons.
Oh,
fantastic. Oh, wow.
This will really
perfect.
Help you, because I don't think I get more nervous than my dressage test at a competition. So this book should really help you. So hopefully you'll get it right. Now, the categories that we have are famous names, anatomy, 1001. She always puts 101, but it's like 1001. And previously on Horses in the Morning is the third category, and that's if you've listened to our show recently, and that's the we asked questions about former shows. So what category would you like?
I've been a regular listener now, so I'm going to go with previously and Horses in the Morning.
Oh, okay. She's brave.
She is brave. That's fantastic. All right. What breed had an entire episode devoted to it this week on Horses in the Morning?
It was yesterday, the Arabians.
Wow.
Congratulations. Fantastic. Congratulations.
That was quick. That was quick. You win the Pressure Proof You're Riding by Daniel
Yay!
Stewart. You're gonna love this book. I guarantee you, and he will sign it for you. But good job. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Easy.
Now, Candace, can I ask you one question? I got to ask her one question. So you've been listening to our show. Why is this the first time you're calling in for this game?
I picked up on your show about a month ago, and honestly, I've been catching up on back episodes.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you called in. I hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Candace, hold on. Jennifer's going to get your information so we can get the book out to you, okay? Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that part.
And now I'm going to make an executive decision, because I can do that because I own the company. We're going to give away a second book. And Daniel doesn't even know that yet, but we'll let him know later. We're going to give away a second book of Daniel, so the next winner will also get a book. So what do you think he's going to say to that? He'll love it. So let me point. Close my eyes and point. We are pointing towards Lou in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Lou.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
I tell you what, Glenn is going to be so excited. You are a male listener. He must just be going crazy right now. How excited are you right now, Glenn? It's a new man.
I'm very excited. I never get to talk to guys on this show. It's just me and the women,
right?
Lou.
Is that right?
Just me and the women. Of course, that isn't so bad, you know.
There's more women in the equine sports.
Yes, there are. That's the problem.
Now, Lou, are you a rider yourself, or are you a horse husband?
Oh, I'm a rider.
Fantastic. What type of riding do you do?
With team penning. We ride cow horses and cut cows and put them in a pen. It's a timed event, and ranch sorting. Which is another timed event, and they sort them in sequence. They holler out a number. They got big numbers on their back, and the announcer would give you a number, and you have to pick that. Say they give five, so you have to pull out the five, the six, the seven, and
Jamie, didn't you do one of these? You did it once. Which one did you do?
I actually took a lesson cutting. I took a cutting horse lesson. But I tell you what, I think that if I was going to do a Western sport involving cattle, that sorting is the coolest thing Lou, I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, to pick out the cow that you want and then consecutively pick out the numbers and then get them to the other side of the arena and put them – it's really impressive. I think that of all the Western sports, that's the one that I would like to try next.
It's really a fun sport, and it's addictive too. Once you do it, it's like you just can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, I think it'd be really stressful too because – I don't like to screw up, and I'd probably screw up a lot.
Well, Lou, this book, I got to tell you, Lou, if you win this book, if you get the answer correct, this book applies to anything you do in your riding. It's a terrific book for English or Western, doesn't matter. It's about riding in general and about the mental side of riding. So especially for competitors like you, this is a terrific book. So I hope you get it. What are the categories again, Jamie?
All right, Lou, the categories are famous names, that's famous names associated with the horse world, Anatomy 101, and Previously on Horses in the Morning. What do you want?
Famous names.
All right, good choice. All right, now this is going to be a multiple choice, so you have 5 seconds from when I finish asking and finish naming all the choices. Samuel Riddle was the owner of what famous racehorse? Is it A, Native Dancer, B, Men of War, or C, Seabiscuit?
Seabiscuit.
Oh! Oh, Lou, you're disappointing the male side of the contingent here.
Oh, jeez.
That was a good guess. The actual answer was B, Man O' War. And Samuel, I could see where you would get confused because Seabiscuit actually ran against one of Man O' War's sons in the movie Seabiscuit and in real life. And that horse was also owned by Samuel Riddle. So I'll give you the fact that Samuel Riddle was in the movie Seabiscuit, just not as the owner. Charles Howard was the owner of Seabiscuit. So sorry that you did not get it. Trust me, that question was easier than any of the ones in Anatomy 101. So,
okay. Well, thank you for having
me. Thanks, Lou.
All right.
Thanks, Lou. Call back next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. We still have a book up in the air, and I am Guys, and we have Lindsay in Indiana.
Lindsay in Indiana. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday morning. You're in Indiana. Again, you have snow coming soon, probably.
Yes, we do, but at least this year we've got a four-wheel drive so we don't get snowed in.
There you go.
That was a good purchase, a very good
purchase. Hey, do you need a trailer to haul with that four-wheel drive? Jamie's got one for you. You just have to drive to Arizona to get it.
Actually, I've already got a little two-horse stock trailer combo that we use on our cattle.
Yes, you don't need the stock trailer. You need a horse trailer with living quarters, so then you can sleep with the cattle.
That requires I get my horses first. We're still working on getting our farm up and running.
All right, well, here's the deal. We've got 3 categories, famous names, Anatomy 101, and Previously on Horses in the Morning. And there's one of these anatomy questions. If you get it, I'll give you the trailer. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
$21,000 prize here on the Wheel of Trivia.
Yeah, and then I'd be divorced.
What category
would you like?
Previously on Horses in the Morning.
All right, here we go. Yeah, this is good because I didn't even know the answer to this one. And so I must have been on one of the shows I was not on. So you probably didn't listen, obviously. Just kidding. All right. What state is Colonial Downs, where you can own a standardbred for a day, located? What state is Colonial Downs in, where you can own a standardbred for a day?
It's somewhere up in New England. I would say Virginia.
You got it right, but Virginia's not New England, so we'll still give it to you.
Thank you.
She only gets half the book.
Yes, that's right. I'll rip out half the book, and you get up to page 94.
No, congratulations, so you, Lindsay. That's great. I didn't know that one. And you get Daniel Stewart's Pressure Proof Your Riding Book. So you have cattle, so that must mean you are competitive.
No, we just have some freezer fillers. And yes, Jamie, I know you're vegetarian.
Oh God, you eat your cattle?
She does listen. She does listen. Do you ride? Do you take lessons, or what do you do?
I'm not riding right now. Usually I just ride whenever I get a chance to ride with someone else. So we're hoping next year or two to finish fencing all of our pasture in and get our barn up and running, and then we'll be looking at horses.
Lindsay, I'm telling you, I have always had the dream and goal of breaking a cow to ride and competing it in eventing. I think you could do it.
Well, we've got a steer out here that's probably docile enough, but if he jumps more than about 6 inches, I think he'll break his back.
Oh, geez. Well, don't pick that one. But I'm telling you, I think I could revolutionize the beef industry by making cattle rideable as opposed to just ropeable, and then nobody will eat beef anymore, and the whole world will go vegetarian.
You know, if you ever make that happen, I will drive to Arizona to see that show.
Yes, I've got a buyer, Glenn. I've got a buyer.
There you go.
All right, Lindsay, thank you very much. Hold on, we'll get your information.
Thank you.
Actually, Lindsay, hold on there. Okay. All right, we have time for one more, right? Do we have time for one more?
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, okay, good. So let's take, we have Lynn in Michigan.
Oh, hey, yeah. Me. It's me.
Lynn,
yes, it's you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Well, how are things in beautiful, sunny Michigan right now?
Well, actually, I'm not in Michigan. I'm in Ohio on my way to Aiken, to the ADF meeting.
Oh, wow. How are you? I'm going to see you there tomorrow?
Yes, I will. You will see me. I'm going to meet you tomorrow.
Well, that's terrific. I'm looking forward to it. And this gives me a chance to give a plug. I will be coming live. Jamie will be here, but I'll be live from Aiken on Friday morning from the Thoroughbred Museum on Friday morning. So we'll be talking all about Aiken the first hour. So that gave me a chance to plug that. Are you bringing a carriage and some horses?
I am. One horse and one carriage and a friend that I used to work with and two dogs.
Do you have room for me? Do I get to take a ride?
I can stuff you in somewhere, maybe.
Okay, good.
Lynn,
just checking.
Do you know what this sounds like? This sounds like you need a 2007 Bison Alumisport living quarter trailer. So you can go on these long trips.
Well, the only problem with that is there's not enough room for the carriage and the horse. I need a floor.
You can put it on top.
Well, Lynn,
that's great.
Lynn, I'm going to, before we go on, I just want to say I am going to be taking up on that ride because Wendy scares me. She scares me. And I'm supposed to go in the carriage with her.
I might scare you too, but we'll try not to kill anybody.
Okay, good. Thanks, Lynn. Look
awesome.
Forward to meeting you.
Awesome. That's so cool. Congratulations. That's going to be super fun. Glenn doesn't let me go on road trips with him anymore now that I have a kid. He thinks
that's
that
fun.
Stay home. Uh-huh. All right.
I was smart enough not to have any babies.
Jamie held out for a long time.
Yeah. Like till I was too old to have a baby, whatever. What category would you like? Would you like Famous Names, Anatomy 101, or Previously on Horses in the Morning?
Well, I'm a little behind. I'm catching up on episodes, so I'm going to skip the Previously. How about Anatomy?
All right. Anatomy 2001. Here we go. All right. Now, I did make this, even though Jennifer did not, because, you know, she writes the questions, you can get mad at her. I actually made this multiple choice, so it should be a little bit easier. Here is the question. Blood is carried to the kidneys via what artery? Is it the dorsal artery, the renal artery, or the femoral artery?
That would have to be renal. Kidney.
You're right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Not that I actually knew that. That was just powers of deduction. Thank God it was multiple choice. I never would have got it.
Know their stuff. Awesome. See, that's the thing. Drivers know their stuff. Now, have you won with us before?
I have. Actually, I've won a book, and I've won some grooming products, and I won fly spray.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see what you're going to win.
I got the coveted bucket of grooming products that Jamie wants.
Dang it. That was nice, wasn't it? It's a good bucket.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat satchel.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Well, now you can add to your collection of things that everybody wants because you won the Redmond Rock gift pack. The Redmond Rock gift pack of the mineral rocks from Redmond Rock. Yeah,
I've never tried them. Nobody sells them around me. I was going to order some.
Well, there you go.
Well, you're going to get your horses
like them. You're going to get your freebies to check them out.
Yeah, great.
So we'll have them. We'll have them sent out to you. Now, it'll come, and actually what a lot of people don't realize is Redmond Rock not only has the rocks, but they have human products as well. They have salt, they have seasoned salt, they have garlic salt. They also have some wound care products that are made. They have toothpaste. They have human toothpaste made with the Redmond Rock minerals. So everything is good for you and your horse, and they're going to send you a little bit of everything out.
Cool.
Now, you have to get it when you come home because you're on your way. So we'll see you down there tomorrow, Lynn. This is going to be fun.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Make sure you say hi because you'll probably recognize me before I do you.
Definitely. I will be looking for you. I'll be stalking you.
Oh, I have a stalker. All right, we'll see you, Lynn.
Great, thanks. See you later.
Now, Glenn, stop picking all the men and the drivers. You picked all the drivers to win. Next time you have to pick
that.
There. Uh-huh.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, no, I got a cowgirl in there, too. I mean, a literal cowgirl.
Yes, that is true.
I got one of those. Hey, I wanted to also mention EquityMSG.com. We can't forget to mention the best manure forks in the whole world. They're the ones that sponsor the Wheel of Trivia. Thank you, everybody, for playing. Equity has two different types of forks. They have the shaken fork and the flexing fork. And when our listener Rhonda from Canada was down visiting last weekend, she hasn't been able to try the shaken fork yet. So the first thing she wanted to do was meet my pony. The second thing she wanted to do was try out the shaken fork. So she grabbed the shaken fork and went in and cleaned a saw for it. And she loved it. She said, "Oh, this is so much easier." I said, "This is great. We're going to have listeners come over and clean the saws all the time." I like this idea.
That's a great idea. Hello. Welcome. Please try out the pitchfork.
Here's the shaking fork. Give it a try. You're going to love it. So if you want people cleaning your stalls for you, buy a shaking fork. Go to equitymfg.com. Guaranteed. You just set it out there. People are going to walk up and say, "Can I clean your stalls?" And you're going to be so happy. And believe me, it saves time, saves money, and they are well worth it. If you don't have a ton of stalls to clean, then go for the flexing fork, or if you're cleaning paddocks, that is the one. That's the one to have. We clean these paddocks with this thick grass and roots everywhere. And let me tell you, we haven't broken a tine. We haven't bent a tine this entire summer. So we highly recommend equitymfg.com. Well, let's get to a little bit of news here. Victoria from Horse and Country TV is off this week, so she'll be back again next week. But I have to start with the news. Jamie, I am not kidding you. I had more people Facebook me. I had more people send me emails and just try and get in contact with me to about this Connecticut Supreme Court story. Now, you don't know much. You haven't read about it, you told me, right?
I read it about it briefly before the show, but no, I don't really know much about it.
All right, so this is the scoop, and it's a kind of complicated court case. So let me just read part of it to you out of this article that I found. The Connecticut Supreme Court will decide whether horses in the state should be classified as a naturally vicious species in a court case that dates back to 2006. Timothy Estribe, owner of Glendale Farms, will speak in court today after one of his horses bit a toddler on the cheek 7 years ago. In February 2012, an appellate court ruled that the horse in question, Scuppy, belong to a species naturally inclined to mischief or to be vicious. Other than a pony. Such a classification would make owning horses uninsurable and jeopardize the state's sizable horse industry. The one-year-old child was taken to the farm by his parents, who held their son up to the fence where the animals were grazing. And apparently what happened is Scuppy reached over and took a chunk out of the horse's or the child's cheek. Now, although there was never any evidence of Scuppy biting anyone before, the owner admitted that horses can bite, and occasionally it does happen. Well, you know, this went on and went through multiple court cases, and then it went up to the appellate court, who decided that horses are vicious, and now it's at the Connecticut Supreme Court to decide otherwise. So, you know, this has huge ramifications for us horse owners. One is it sets a precedent if the Supreme Court there decides that they're vicious animals. Two, you'll never insure one of your farms or horses again, and you're going to be inherently liable for anything your horses do. Basically, you know those fences you see on bridges that go over overpasses over the highway that have the barbed that are curved and go up about 10 feet and have the barbed wire on the top? That's what you're going to have to put your horses in if this goes through. How do we feel about it? I think you probably know how Jamie and I feel about it. As a horse husband, I think this is great because we have said horses are vicious from the beginning. I have always known horses to be vicious, and I think we're finally going to classify them like they actually are.
You are crazy. Crazy. And I'll tell you what.
Kidding.
You know,
I'm kidding.
Just, of course you're kidding. But
I'll just clarify that.
Yeah, good call. You get an email. Just yesterday, Chad was actually walking our little man around, who is not quite 4 months old, and I was riding Edward, and he actually picked Edward up and, like, let Edward sniff Lucas and let him sniff, and Lucas thought it was the funniest thing and started smiling and laughing when he kept feeling the in his face. Like, every time Edward would sniff him and kind of blow on him, he would just laugh, and so if horses were inherently dangerous, which is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, why would a horse person do that? Obviously, this is a tough situation because the poor child in question was injured. And to me, that person should have their insurance revoked, not the entire horse community. That's just crazy.
Well, that's what the Farm Bureau of Connecticut and the Horse Council are arguing, is that it's been a precedent in the past in court cases that you can deem an animal, an individual animal, vicious, but you don't deem an entire species of animal vicious. In other words, you don't say all dogs are vicious because a pit bull bit somebody or a Yorkie bit somebody, you know. They haven't come out and said that cats are vicious even though you haven't met ours, you know. If they met ours, they would probably declare that. So, you know, I personally think cats should get it before horses. But, yeah, it's a bad precedent when you think about it. And this could have huge ramifications. And, you know, Lord knows if this poor guy that owns this farm has enough money to Supreme Court if it's actually upheld in Connecticut.
Well, it's just, you know, and not that I need to get on my high horse about our government, but to me, this is what is wrong with our government, is the fact that one thing happens, like one guy puts a bomb in his shoe, and now every one of us has to take our shoes off to get on a plane. Like, to me, it's always that knee-jerk reaction of, oh, one horse did it? All horses are dangerous. You know, it just doesn't have to be like that. And again, it's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to one incident.
Right. And there was another story. So anyway, we'll follow that, and we'll obviously keep an eye on it. It was everywhere. Jamie, I'm telling you, it was on CNN, CBS, NBC. This story hit the BBC. BBC had a big article on it. So, you know, it is, you know, everybody in the world is watching this story, and you would think everybody in England would especially be watching because they have a lot of horses over there, and it's just going to be interesting to see. Let's hope the court doesn't screw that up. I can't believe it's made it this far, to be honest with you.
Well,
on some other news, I got something for you that I want to quick, and that is you're going to be so excited because, you
really?
Know, I know you love women. Yeah, you are. And because this is something you've always wanted to do, and now somebody has set the way for you, Jamie. You're going to have a new career. You're going to be quitting the show and doing something new very soon. I know it. Because Angela Herman has made horse racing history. How did she do that? Nope, not by riding a horse. She is the first woman in North America in racing to call, to be a race caller for an entire card of thoroughbred races at Canterbury Park. And that's in Minnesota. So she has been working at the park as a racing analyst for the last 3 years. And she's always, her dream has been to be a race caller. And they gave her the opportunity to do that yesterday. And she called the entire card of races. And I have I have an audio here for you. You have to listen closely. Some of it's a little hard to hear. But the video that was put together by a website. So take a listen to this. You do get to hear a little bit of her call. So take a listen.
Broken Arrow's in. And they're racing off cleanly.
Kate Kanjit to her inside. O Club Gold moving up on the rail.
My name is Angela Herman. I'm the analyst at Canterbury Park. And this is my third summer, but my very, very first time calling an entire race car.
Katie Kan is taking the lead by half a length. Dueling for second right now. Meeting the session to the outside of O Club Gold. GG Silent Siege content to sit in fourth right now.
And this will be the first time in North America that a woman has called a full thoroughbred car.
Now moving four wide as Mimi's Obsession goes up to push the issue with Katie Kan.
So I'm honored to be a part of history. It's a very big day for me and everybody here. The outpouring of support has been overwhelming but very exciting at the same time.
And these two down to the wire together. As far as honor goes on the inside, moving up to take third. Unbridled Celtic will give it up as well as Mimi's Obsession. GG Silent Siege takes the first by a length.
Girls of all ages out there, if you want to get involved in horse racing, however it is, don't be afraid. Just because you're the first doesn't mean to be the last. It's my dream job. I wanted to do it since I was a little kid. So I'm very pleased that I get to do both today, be a little bit of a pioneer for women, and still do the job of my dreams. I just couldn't be in a better position.
Wow.
Well, there you, isn't that cool? That's something you'd
that
love to do.
Cool.
You'd love to do that, wouldn't you?
Yes, and my horse racing call would, you know, I actually got to sit in the booth with a horse racing caller one time. And they are ridiculous at memorization. They can memorize the horse. They look at the call sheet, and they do this at least 10 times in, you know, 5 hours of looking at this horse race call going, okay, one is Bad Boy, two is Sleeping Beauty, number three is, you know, whoever the names are, and they memorize it. And then they're like, and coming around the turn, Sleeping Beauty, followed by, you know, it's just absolutely awesome how they do that. If I was to call a race, it would be like, okay, the one horse is in the front, but wait, here comes the four. Wait, five is running.
The white horse is pulling up quickly on the outside, and the red horse.
Exactly. And the red number five, and then the, let's see, that's a chestnut, I think, but now he's covered in mud, so I can't, I don't know, that other horse that was in the back is coming to the front.
I can see it now, because, you know, 85% of thoroughbred racehorses are bay. It's going to be 8 bay horses on your first race. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, exactly. And the grays all turn to bay because they're in the back, you know. So I wouldn't be very, very good at it. I don't have that kind of brain. But I do appreciate a good caller, a good racehorse caller. So good for her. I think that's,
you know,
her
it was interesting because they showed video of her in the booth. And the booth they have at this racetrack at Canterbury Park is literally a booth where she stands up at a microphone and has these great big huge binoculars that are mounted on a stand. And so you got the microphone, these great big binoculars, and an empty room, and her holding her race card, and that was it. And it's like, oh my God, that's it. There's not 25 people handing them notes. It's just them by themselves. That's a tough gig.
Yeah. That's all it is. That is all it is. I'm going to try to find the article. Rick Riley, who is a writer for ESPN and Sports Illustrated, he actually wrote an article about being a race caller, and he was given the chance to do it for a day. So I'll try to find that article because it was incredible. I mean, he's very funny. He also wrote about going up in a plane with a fighter pilot. So he's done just about everything, and he said that that was the scariest minute in sports that he'd ever been involved in, was calling a race. so I'll find that article.
Yeah, see.
He's good.
Well, those guys, they got hours. You know, they can look the guy's name up. You know, they have time to do all those stupid stats they do. I mean, they got hours because they're spitting.
And they got
and
people.
Carrying, you know, just, yeah.
Hey, this is his batting average. This is his thing. They got people handing him stuff, so you don't have that because you've got, like, less than 2 minutes, like you said, to get everything out. I do have a news story for you. Something to make dressage exciting, Glenn. Are you ready for this?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Bikini?
British in British eventing, no, not that exciting for you.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to try to make this in British eventing. They do the metric system, but I actually am going to try to turn this around and make it understandable for Americans, dumb Americans. So there is a woman who has broken the record in dressage eventing. So she goes in to do her dressage test. And she broke the record of the lowest score ever, because the lowest score is best. She goes in to do her dressage test and scored a 7.5. For those who ride dressage, that is like scoring, let's see, I'm not good at math, but that's like a 93.5. That, I mean, it's a ridiculous.
Well, doesn't that mean if she, 7.5, if she had gotten a 0, it would be a perfect score, right?
0 would be a perfect score. So she almost had a perfect score. Apparently, she goes in and started getting, she got an 8 for her entrance. Now, her name is Jade Struthers, and the horse's name is Brodian Roxanne, or Roxy. They got an 8 for their interest. Every other movement was given scores of 9, but the judge actually awarded them the perfect 10 for their last 3 movements. Now, the horse trial that she was doing is the equivalent to our novice. So the jumps on course are actually less than 3 feet tall. So it's not like she was in there doing a Grand Prix dressage test. I looked up the dressage test, and it is basically like a novice test, like walk, trot, canter, 20-meter circles. And the 9-year-old mare that she was riding didn't even win. Didn't even win with the lowest score ever. She ended up with 2 rails down in show jumping and 5.5 time penalties on cross country to finish on her score of 21, and she came in second. Apparently, this is a mare who is a Grand Prix dressage mare that the owners decided they needed a change of scenery, so they started eventing her recently. And so that is how she ended up with a score of 7.5 in the dressage. Now,
nothing like back in the deck.
I mean, as a competitor, you see that person coming and you're like, oh, God, please don't be in my division. Please don't. Oh, dang it. I might as well just go home. You see a Grand Prix dressage horse warming up next to you. Like, they're practicing tempi changes, and then they go in and do their trot test. Like, you gotta be kidding me. But at least she hasn't figured out the rest of it. I mean, there's a reason that they do dressage at one level and keep the jumps kind of the same, because obviously not every horse is a Grand Prix dressage horse. But can you imagine scoring a 7.5, much less have somebody in your division score a 7.5? That's crazy.
No. And then you really do have to knock a bunch of rails and screw up to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to have to mess up big time.
You do. Well, one more for you. It's kind of a sad but not so sad story is that George Sally, his name is Bucky. He is the bugler at Keeneland, and he's been the bugler, you know, the person that goes, I can't do it.
That was pretty good, actually.
Thank you. He's the bugler at Keeneland Racetrack.
You couldn't announce, but you could probably remember 10 notes to do the bugling.
I could. Give me a microphone. I think they do it a little faster. He's been doing that job at Keeneland for 50 years. 50 years. All he does is go out there in that green outfit and stand there and play that bugle. And he is going to retire this fall. Bucky Sally, George Bucky Sally, the bugler at Kingland, retiring after over 50 years. He has been, his replacement has been announced. Noted trumpeter Steve Buttleman has been named as his, if you see this picture of this guy, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's the Kingland guy. He says that, it's been a pleasure to be a part of the Kingland family. It's opened a lot of doors for him. He's watched race friends go grow up right in front of him and bring their own kids, and it's been a lot of fun, and he is officially retiring. I want to get him on the show.
Jennifer. To give you a perspective, that was the year I was born, 1962 he started, which was the year that John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea of when that was, in 1962, that he started, which means there probably wasn't a whole lot of buglers before him. There's probably not been, you know, if they keep taking 50-year jobs, wow. How much do you get paid to be a bugler, by the way?
Exactly. What does a bugler make? What does a racetrack bugler make? I'm going to Google that. Let's see if they can find
like, $50 a note? Is it like $10 a note? Or, you know, you think they get paid by the note or by the day?
I can't imagine that you make that much as a bugler.
And it's only like, what, one or two months a year? It's only two race cars a year, so.
Yeah, it's true. What does a bugler make? I'm Googling that. Talk amongst yourself.
Yeah, good luck with that. I hope you find that one. While you're looking up what a bugler makes, I wanted to mention that my girlfriend Chantel Sutherland Cruz, now she's married, so. But anyway, she of course is a jockey and a Canadian thoroughbred jockey who we've talked about many, many times here on the show. She set a world record yesterday, and it was not riding a thoroughbred. She was doing this at Meadows Racetrack in Southwest Pennsylvania, and she set a record for riding a trotter. Yes, they are usually in front of a cart and have a harness on, but yesterday she was riding one, and the trotter's name was DW's New York Yank, and she rode to a North American record of 1.59 for the mile. And she had attempted it once before and failed, and they did it again at the track yesterday. Her parents actually raised standardbred, so she grew up in the standardbred business. And apparently when you ride a trotter at that speed, it is an interesting experience. Because she said it's a little bit different. She said, this horse, she said her arms were so tired when she was done with the 2 minutes that she said she tried to take a break in the middle to give her arms a break because they pull much more than the riding horses, the thoroughbred. She said she tried to relax her arms and the horse slowed down. So she said she had to pull again, and she said, my arms were never so tired in any of the races she's ever done with thoroughbred.
You're kidding.
No, because they pull. I mean, they pretty much pull the cart with the reins. So I know I drove one of those ponies. The pony I had was a racer before, and we didn't need the traces because the pony pulled the cart with the reins. And your arms were exhausted by the time you were done driving that for an hour or two. So she set the record. Good job. It was fun to watch. It was kind of cool.
Wow.
So how much did they make?
I can't find it, but I did find an entry in Google that says the Saratoga Racecourse bugler was arrested on DWI charges.
He's not going to be there for 50 years.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
They're also looking for a new bugler. Jennifer, it'd be fun to get George Bucky on. It'd be fun to talk to him. See if you can locate him. Call Kingland. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. No problem. Just call the 1-800 Kingland number.
Call 1-800 Kingland and they'll give you the number of whoever you want.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. You have a song today, and this is dedicated to someone. And another pioneer, we have women that are pioneers all over the place today. It's a Jared Rogerson song, which I thought was very appropriate for him dedicating this to. It's a song called Riding Wild Ponies, about being in the rodeo. And this goes out to Maggie Parker, something I don't see Jamie doing. I see you being a race caller not doing this. She is the first female professional rodeo Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association bull rider. to actually win money. She has actually won money. She's ridden in more than 200 rodeos. She's 21 years old and pretty as all get out. She's beautiful, and you know, I'm sure that doesn't hurt her getting some good rides. But unfortunately, she had an issue on the night of August the 15th. She was making a good ride, but she lost her rope, and the bull threw her, and she landed on the back of her neck. She said, "I heard a pop, and that's when I knew it was broken." She, with a broken neck, crawled back to the chute because the bull was coming after her. And she said, "I sat on my hands and knees and told them that I broke something." Medics took her off to the hospital, where she went immediately into surgery. She had two plates and like 15 pins put in, broke a vertebrae in her neck, and it was the fourth vertebrae, T4, which they said usually caused the kind of burst fracture she had, usually causes paralysis, but she didn't. She's going to be okay. She's recovering at home. Get this, she's 21 years old. You think a life of an inventor is dangerous? She's 21 years old. She's had every body part stepped on. She's been hooped several times, run over more than once, has had broken bones. She has cracked 5 vertebrae, dealt with a sternum injury, and suffered a lacerated liver. This was
Good
her first
job.
Injury that required this was her first injury that required surgery. I'm going to try and get her on too. I want to talk to this girl. Talk about a tough cookie. Jeez.
All right, that she's amazing. I just did find something regarding the Bugler. Apparently, at some point, Aqueduct and Belmont were looking for a Bugler in 1993, and they put an ad out to find a Bugler. And the apparently, he said that they, you know, if they need somebody that to do accounts payable, they'll get 300. Responses the next day for the racetrack Bugler ad they put in. They said they got 3 responses, and they actually auditioned people to do the bugling. And so he says that you have them come in, and it needs to be exciting, and they have to be personal and friendly, and that they first have to play on their own bugler. He said, and then they play on ours. It's long and regal. Of course, they bring their own mouthpiece because we don't want to spread any bugler germs on the racetrack horn. He also said they would hire a female bugler because they are an equal opportunity bugler company. Say that 5 times fast.
You know, I've never seen a woman bugler at any of the tracks we've been to, though, if you think about it.
Yes, he did say that the salary was, let me find what they said the salary was. Where is it?
Minimum wage?
Sorry.
$7 an hour.
Yeah, they just basically said that the salary was comparable to that job. So, no.
Okay, well, that doesn't say anything, does it? There's like 10 of those jobs, what, 100 of those jobs maybe in the country?
Yeah, not even, because most places play taped ones. So.
All right, let's play your song. Riding Wild Tony's dedicated to Maggie Parker, female bull rider who's recovering.
My Cadillac pack, she's loaded and ready. Gonna take her down the road to the rodeo. And with a new tank of fuel and a cool Mountain Dew, I'm gonna do just what I wanna do. We'll be riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, shooting for the title. Life. Now I'm feeling pretty good. Man, he must have been right. I just take the money and run. Even though I always win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. We'll be driving all around the world, another half a million miles around the world.
Well, that was Riding Wild Ponies by Jared Rogerson, the bull rider, and that was dedicated out to fellow bull rider Maggie Parker. Now, I was looking up Maggie Parker during the song there, and actually the Daily Mail out of the UK did an article on her, and they had a picture of her. She has a big bull, a bucking bull tattoo on her shoulder, so she truly is dedicated to bull riding. She has a big bull on her shoulder. So we wish her the best in her recovery. You're
Glenn,
listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. Yeah.
Anytime somebody has their liver torn doing a sport and they're still doing that sport, they're dedicated. Tattoo or no.
Yeah, that's true. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. That's Jamie Jennings. I am Glenn the Geek here with Coach Jen in the producer chair today. And, you know, speaking of the Western world, we are involved with Road to the Horse this next year. Don't miss the Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park, March 14th to the 16th for the World Championship of Colt Starting. Watch Dan Steers from Australia, Antoine Klo from Switzerland, and Jonathan Field from Canada, and the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor face off to see who will walk away with the title of world champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy the largest shopping experience yet. You can find out more at roadtothehorse.com. And we'll be there at the Kentucky Horse Park for Road to the Horse next year. So we'll be bringing you some coverage from there. Well, one other quick thing here before we get started. Friday's really bad ads. I'm going to be doing it from Aiken, and we have a couple of great prizes. Jennifer's going to tell us about them now.
On this week's prize table, beginning on the left, we have from Horse Grooming Solutions a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, and economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted the number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier or online at horsegroomingsolutions.com. And on the other side of the table, we have 5 free bags of feed, forage, or supplement from Triple Crown Nutrition. Triple Crown Nutrition offers a complete lineup of fortified feeds, forages, and supplements to satisfy the needs of your whole herd. Whether you are looking for higher fat, lower carbs, a senior diet, or sound nutrition for growing horses, Triple Crown Nutrition has the answer. You can look for them online at triplecrownfeed.com.
Jamie, have you sold your – oh, by the way, if you want to send your ads in, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy the whole ad. Put it in the email. Don't just send a link, because by the time we get to it, it might be a couple weeks, and it won't be there anymore. But so send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and I know a lot of you have in the last week or two. Have you sold your trailer yet? I'm just curious.
Not only have I not sold it, I haven't even gotten an email or a phone call. And I'm starting to get irritated, people. Come on. I need a new trailer. I've got a competition coming up in a month, and I need to have a new one by then. So if you guys could please go ahead and just, you know, get the financing situated, or just write me a check or pay me in cash. It's on there.
Any
one of those will work. You know what? I bet Michelle from the horse.com wants one.
Yeah, she just got a new horse. She probably needs a new trailer that's 80 feet long and has a living quarters. Don't you, Michelle?
No, I have a horse trailer, but it's definitely not that large.
It's not 80 feet. It's only like maybe 26 feet, and I think you need it because now you have two horses, and you can't just leave one home alone. So you're going to have to take both of them with you, and you should camp out. And so I think that this trailer is perfect for you.
Oh, Jamie, I don't have two horses. I have three horses.
Oh, perfect. It's a three horse.
Stop.
Because I'm crazy.
Congratulations on your new one, by the way. Tell everybody a little bit about your new pony and how you ended up with a new pony.
Oh, so she's very cute. She's a little 2-year-old Oldenburg cross. And, you know, my horse has been lame off and on. My dressage horse has had some soundness issues. He's just, you know, not holding up to the upper level work because he's older and arthritic. And I've been feeling kind of sad. And then I looked on Dream Horse.
That's bad. You never look on Dream Horse when you're feeling sad.
No. And, yeah, and everyone just got back from championships, and they all had a great time. And, you know, so, yeah, I was looking, and this little girl just caught my eye. And so, and she was out in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, in eastern Oregon, and went out and made an adventure of it. And, you know, I was like, I don't know if I should get a horse. And I did tell them that, you know, if she gets in the trailer, I'll give you X dollars for her. And she just, like, walked right in the trailer. I'm like, really? What 2-year-old just walks right into the trailer?
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I need an honest answer. Did you actually go to look at this horse with your horse trailer attached to your truck?
Yeah, that's the mistake that I made. But it was way out in the middle of nowhere. And I had cash in the console, so yeah.
Oh, geez.
Just in case.
Oh geez. Just yeah, you were
like
in
there's
trouble.
Any question.
Yeah.
All right, let's be formal about this. Let's get this segment started.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Well, that's right. Well, it is time for thehorse.com. Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com, with the weekly horse health report.
Hi, everyone.
Michelle,
is Dr. Jones with
us?
Yes, Dr. Jones with us.
Hi, I am so glad that Jamie pointed out those two obvious facts, that we had our horse trailer with us.
Uh-oh.
And you willingly told us you had cash in the console. So,
Yeah,
but I didn't mean to buy her. It was just, yeah, it was a really long drive, and I thought if I was going to make the drive, I only wanted to make it once. So,
Whatever. Listen, I read your blog post on thehorse.com, and your blog post is like, oh, well, I didn't mean to buy a horse. I somehow ended up with a horse. Whatever, girlfriend, you need to buy that horse. Don't lie to other people, okay? You can lie to your mama. You can lie to your husband. You cannot lie to us.
You know, the last thing I needed to do is to buy a 2-year-old. And so, and I took my trainer with me, too. My trainer is my good friend, and I was like, do you want to go on this adventure? And she's always up for an adventure, so we went out. And I thought she'd see her and go, nah, she's okay. And she goes, oh, she's cute. I'm like, oh, no, now I have to buy her.
The only thing worse than the person who's going with you to buy the horse, the person who's going to buy the horse, is the person that's not buying it that wants you to have it.
Yeah.
So,
you should get that horse.
She is so talented. Wow, you should really. You see, come on. I could sell you the horse.
It is fun to be the one not making the commitment, huh?
Exactly.
So. But Dr. Jones, so today I wanted to talk about what you do when you get a horse, and especially a young horse like mine, where maybe you don't have a full history on the horse, a health history, about, you know, bringing the horse into your own herd and protecting your own horse, and where you start from if you're kind of starting from scratch, or you think you're starting from scratch.
Well, may I point out, just before you ask me the first question, that a lot of these questions would be answered if a pre-purchase exam was done by a veterinarian on the animal prior to purchase.
No pre-purchase happened. Yeah, that's my vet was like, so should I come look at her now after you bought her?
Yeah.
Busted.
That's the problem with the online horse buying, yes. There was a lot of post-buying exams. I don't know what to call those. They're not pre-purchase. I guess they're post-purchase or insanity checks, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, yes, listeners of Horse in the Morning and readers of The Horse and thehorse.com, do not follow my example. But sometimes when a deal's made, that's how you make a deal, but that's how I made my deal. So, what could be wrong with the two-year-old? Anyway, okay. So.
Oh, my.
Okay, so you bring a horse like my little girl home, and what concerns do you have about protecting the rest of your horses? You know, like I have 2.25 acres. How do I do a quarantine? How do I protect my other horses from this horse that, you know, has been at a place that I don't know what her full history is.
You are kind of in a little bit of a dilemma with such small property with quarantining that horse. And that is the very first thing you should think about is what are you bringing home to your own healthy horses?
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you've protected your horses with everything you possibly can, but there's still, everything's not 100% anymore in life. So 35 feet is a recommended quarantine for horses. So if you have what we call a welcome barn that sits out in a paddock by itself, and that paddock doesn't go nose-to-nose to your other horses, you're good. But if you have close contact, you're just going to have to do the best you can. That horse is last to be fed, last to have a stall cleaned, you know, everything like that, and wash up in between touching that horse and others. So right off the bat, you need to do some biosecurity for your other healthy horses.
And so what are some of the signs you should be looking for in a new horse or young horse? And I'm talking about like sale horses too. You know, lots of times you go to an auction and you buy a young horse at an auction, you don't know the full history. What are some signs that maybe that horse has some health issues?
Well, a lot of them, I get the comment that they were so sweet and they're so docile and easygoing for a two-year-old. Can you believe it? What an easygoing horse. And that could be your first sheer sign that you might have some worm damage or some worms going on or some other disease process going on in this lack of nutrition type disease process going on in this horse, that they are just unthrifty because they have no energy. And so that always worries me when I hear a client say, oh, they're a two-year-old and they're doing so well, you know, with the easy, you know, getting along with me and leading and I put the saddle on and whatever. As soon as they start putting some groceries to those horses, sometimes they get a little bit rambunctious or a little more energy than they used to. And then the next comment is they were drugged when they sold them to them. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I always think of is maybe they're a little bit sick when you bring them home. And it could be more diet or it could be worms. Those are the two things I think of, number one. So a dewormer, I always tell clients it doesn't hurt to go ahead and deworm them again on something that's very easy, light on their intestinal tract. The pyrantals are really slow kill, easy going on the digestive tract, that you could go ahead and feed them that and help kill out some of the worms and then come back about 4 to 6 weeks later and hit them with an ivermectin type to finish off the rest of the worms. You can also have a fecal test done by the veterinarian on your post-purchase exam or insanity check exam, whatever you want to call it. That's the thing I kind of look for, because those parasites can pass to your horses, and you want to try to keep them segregated if you can. Again, small acreage farms, a lot of people put them right out with the rest of their horses, and they'll be passing some worms onto those other horses in the pastures.
What about things like a runny nose or goopy eyes? When you're hauling a horse especially, is that normal to see those things, or would those be caution signs?
Well, those are possible caution signs. They could be just from the haul, you know, the wind in their eyes type thing, depends on the type of trailer you have. But the vaccine history, you know, you'd like to say that everybody's above board, and every person that sells a horse that might be in a little bit of financial trouble doesn't want to look like a bad owner. So you have to consider that these people are trying their best. They just might not have done everything they should have prior to selling the horse, because they might have been needing to save some money. And so vaccinating would probably be a good idea, as long as you know the horse wasn't really vaccinated in the last couple of weeks. So if they say, oh, yeah, here's a record, then that's a good sign. But if they are saying it's been a couple months, you might want to go ahead and bump those vaccines and booster their immune system when they get to your place. Maybe not the first day or two because they're under a little bit of stress, but definitely within the probably first week they're there.
Yeah. And, you know, we get lots of questions from people who are getting rescue horses and are in a situation where they don't know their history. Is it okay to go ahead and do a full deworming and full vaccinations right away when you get those horses home, or do you need to spread those out?
I recommend spreading them out. So the vaccines are a concern, but I always put them, believe it or not, put them all secondary to the parasites and the diet change you're going to do, because both of those are detrimental to their life. Vaccines are, you know, encephalitis, of course, is detrimental to their life in West Nile, but the ones you're most concerned about with the other horses is the herpes and the flu that will pass from horse to horse. So if you have them isolated, you could wait another week or so. There's a latent period of 21 days on those, so you've got 3 weeks that you really should keep them separated. Up to a month is preferred. And so if you vaccinate them a week after they've come in, their immune system is more apt to accept a vaccine to beef up their immune system, because under stress, your immune system doesn't work very well. We all know that when we're stressed out with work, bills, school, whatever it is in our life that creates stress, we definitely do not feel good. We can come down with colds easier, you know, that kind of thing. So the horse is going to be stressed out moving to a new environment. So I always tell clients, hold off for about a week or two before you vaccinate. And, you know, clients that are moving their horses, I had one just the other day. She came due. She's moving them across country, actually, to Jamie's backyard. And they were due for their vaccines. And I told her, I said, I'd not vaccinate them 6 days before they get on this trailer in case they pop a fever or they get sore for that long haul. Wait till you get there. Wait 2 weeks and then go ahead and have them looked at. And that's what their plan is. So the dewormer, because you're spreading the eggs to the other horses, the nutrition, you don't want to abruptly change their grain if you can help it. If they give you no supply of grain or hay to take with you, you will have to slowly introduce what you're feeding the rest of your herd to help out the horse.
Okay. And so with my particular filly, I do know she was vaccinated in the spring, but that she didn't receive a West Nile vaccination, and she was in an area where they aren't concerned about it, or her owners weren't concerned about West Nile, but I am in my area, and it's fall, so should I go ahead and do that West Nile now, or should I wait until the spring when I do my spring exams?
The primary time we see West Nile cases are from July until October, so I would go ahead and give one now, because there still is that chance. We have the whole month of October to go through. We get import horses from Europe that don't have the West Nile vaccine given to them. So we consider them what we call naive horses, meaning never experienced that immune response to the vaccine. So on naive horses, and that would include your new young one, is you want to give them a vaccination and then booster it 4 to 6 weeks later, and that will consider this initial series.
And then now that I have her home, are there any nutritional concerns that I should have about my two-year-old?
Yeah. Even at two, it would be good to have her teeth checked. You have the wolf teeth pulled, especially if you're thinking about starting to put a bridle in her mouth and play around with you know, some fun things you're going to do. But also, there can be some sharp enough points in the two-year-old that might make them a little less able to chew. Any other horses, that I find to be the most common veterinary item in herd health care that is missed when people want to start selling horses, because they can maybe just do the vaccines themselves, or they can go ahead and get that done because the vet's out there. But to have the teeth done, it involves a little bit more time, maybe a little bit more money, and so that kind of gets pushed to the wayside. So definitely have their teeth looked at so that your nutrition that you're feeding them isn't just going to break the bank for yourself, because you're feeding them to a horse that can't really chew it well to begin with. So having the vet do their teeth would be a recommendation as well within the first month of them being there.
Okay. Well, it sounds like I need to get my vet out.
Yeah, to do that post-purchase insanity check exam. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, after I make sure that she's halter broke, I will have the vet out.
Oh, dear God.
See, it's okay if you're going in knowing that. See, actually, Michelle did it right, because she went in knowing that she could afford to lose all that money and the $5,000 in vet bills that were going to come after. She accepted that when she hooked up the trailer. Isn't that right, Michelle?
You know, there is risk to things in life, and I am risk-averse.
Right.
However,
hey, look,
you know,
you get married, you got a 50% chance of it going bad. So that's a risk. Do you have him vetted? Maybe we should.
What a thought.
Well, I am a big believer in the pre-purchase exam. In this case, that's not the way the deal was going to be made. So, you know,
where do you work again? Where do you work again? I'm just checking.
Yeah. See,
well,
I obviously still have a lot to learn.
The one thing you can do today or tomorrow easily is you can grab a fresh fecal sample, take it into your vet, and drop it off, have them do a fecal on it, so you kind of know where you stand on your worming. Some of them may be loaded, and some might have very few. But that would be the easiest thing to do right off the bat. You can even do that when you're trailing that animal home, because they probably poop on the trailer, and then you can just grab it and take it over to the vet.
Yeah, and the fecal test won't traumatize her as much as everything else will.
Exactly.
Michelle, I, for one, am completely disappointed that you would dare do something so crazy as go look at a horse with a trailer attached to your truck. I would never do anything like that, ever.
Oh, I bet you never would. I bet you never brought home
never.
A horse without a vet check.
You know what? Listen, the drive was really far all the way to Tucson, and Edward was not going to walk home, so I had to take my trailer.
If you saw the dirt road that I drove down with my truck and trailer to see this filly, you would understand why I only wanted to drive the trip once.
You know, I figure if you're going to drive all the way to drive several hours to go look at a horse, you might as well take your trailer. And if it doesn't work out, you can always shoot him.
I just didn't
hey,
figure
Dr.
a two-year-old would actually get in a trailer. Like, I thought I had that extra buffer. There's no way.
Hey, Dr.
There's
Jones.
No way.
Dr. Jones, have you heard this
green
song
on
before?
Green, mixed black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
I just thought I'd say that. Yeah.
Well,
very good, Glenn.
Yes, thanks.
And
I love you, Michelle.
Thank you. I'm super excited about my little girl.
You should be.
I have to send you a video. Jamie, you're going to watch this little silly move, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's why she brought that little girl home.
No, listen, you're talking to the wrong person. Like, I love that you did that. I think it's fantastic. I think more power to you. You know, it's your pony. You go for it, and just get that post-vet check so you don't get your other horses sick. I get it. Ask Glenn if he pre-purchased his new horse.
No, because the vet would have said, are you crazy? What? Not that thing's going to die on the trailer on the way home.
But we did discuss it that
if he did die, at least he was going to die with some food in his mouth for a change. So.
I think there is a difference between not doing a pre-purchase because you don't know any better, don't have the experience with what can happen.
Okay.
And consciously making the decision to not make the pre-purchase exam when you know that that's the right thing to do.
Because you're acting like a 13-year-old girl who falls in love with a horse when they go to look at it for the first time.
I love it. He's so pretty. Oh, my God. I have to have it. I get it.
It's a rough crowd today. It's a rough crowd.
We love
and
you,
Dr. Jones.
I'm sorry.
And Dr. Jones, how hard is it when you have to say, you know, I can't, I'm... This horse, these are the things that I found wrong with it in your pre-purchase.
I'm a very upfront person, which sometimes does not gel well with some clients. And, you know, the clients that like me being upfront, I have had for many years. But, I just pretty much told a woman that the other day that was snickered into buying a two-year-old stallion because you can make money off of them. And I walked in and saw these big grapefruit-sized joint effusions of the stifles. And they could hardly get a halter on them. And I said, you might have OCD in your stifles with those big grapefruits on the stifle. Now, granted, I couldn't even touch the stifle because he would kick. So I said, when he gets a bit more sedate, I'll put my very extensive digital x-ray machine there and take an x-ray of that. But you may be doing surgery on him and castrating him anyway because you don't want to pass on OCD.
Hey, So I have a question. How many people that you – we're going a little long here, but that's okay. How many people that you – all right, you give them this laundry list of things, and basically you're in a way coming out and telling them not to buy the damn horse. How many actually do it? 50%?
More than 50% still purchase. My whole thing is I don't pass or fail, and I think a lot of veterinarians are getting away from that pass or fail terminology, is I provide them information that if they want to go back to the seller and say, these are things we found wrong, would you take less? Because I'm going to have to spend money to fix these. That's what I recommend these people do, because they may be perfectly happy with giving Adequan on a regular basis or doing joint injections or having to do dentals a little bit more often because you got a slight overbite that causes some big problems. But so I don't really look into the people's ideas of why they're purchasing it. It could be bomb-proof for their 10-year-old. But has many problems. So there's more often people will purchase a horse that I would kind of shake my head and say, no way.
Yeah, you know, emotion. There is emotion.
Even positive on a drug test, shake my head, no way, and they still purchase. Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, that's sad.
Great.
That's sad.
Hey, we got to wrap up here, guys. We have run out of time. Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com. Michelle, we'll post a link on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning to your article where people can go over and see your cute little baby. Knew you were going to get razzed for this, and you still brought it up today. So, so you're a brave woman. Brave woman. And of course, we can find Dr. Jones at FloridaEquine.com. If you need her, if you want her to come out and tell you not to buy that horse and buy it anyway, she is the perfect vet for you at FloridaEquine.com. We'll see you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we have a horse in the backyard, one of my boarder's horses, that they actually said, the vet was like, do not buy this horse. Whatever you do, don't buy this horse. He's not going to last. Do not, do not, do not. And they're like, but Daddy, we love him.
So cute.
And we love him. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So the second horse these people bought, they were like, should we get a vet check? And I was like, why? You're not going to listen. So it's all part of it. You know, what are you going to do?
I hope people don't. If you're a new listener to the show, we know Michelle very well, and we were just picking. We have all taken home horses that didn't get vet checks. Matter of fact, I just did about a month and a half ago. So, and one that would have never passed a vet, ever.
Because we love them, and they're pretty. And, you know, it was like, oh, we'll deal with it when it comes. And, you know, thank God your horse lived more than a day. But, yeah, you're right. A vet would have been like, first of all, call the authorities to come out here. That's been the first thing the vet would have done.
All right. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back. We've recorded a show for you tomorrow, and then we'll be back here live on Friday morning. I'll be in Aiken, South Carolina for the American Driving Society Annual Convention, and I'll be coming to you from the Thoroughbred Hall of Fame there in Aiken. We're going to learn a little bit about Aiken and the horses there, and also a little bit about the race horses there in Aiken, and then we'll have really bad ads for you as well. Well, Jamie, good luck selling that trailer Jamie has for sale. She's just lowered the price because it didn't sell during the show. It's now $2,000.
Yes,
for a
2007.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.